The Upper Lane Canal gets visited by some super fancy mega yachts, and a tome of Skagway history hits the bookshelves. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. We told you in our last newscast that Governor Sean Parnell would be visiting Haines on Friday, but that trip was canceled Thursday when his spokesperson said the governor has come down with laryngitis. Parnell was scheduled to meet with the Haynesboro mayor, assembly, and staff, visit the American Bald Eagle Foundation, and sit down with us for an interview. No word yet if he will reschedule his trip anytime soon. Alaska State Troopers are investigating a sexual assault alleged to have taken place aboard a cruise ship in Southeast this week. Troopers say a female crew member on the Star Princess reported being assaulted by two other crew members as the ship was sailing through Chatham Straits on its way to Juneau. Trooper spokeswoman Beth Ipson says the assault reportedly took place early Monday morning. Troopers have identified two male suspects, but no charges have been filed yet. Ipson says alcohol was involved. She says the alleged victim and suspects remain on board the ship. About 2 weeks ago, the U.S. Senate Commerce Committee in Washington, D.C., discussed the newly introduced Cruise Passenger Protection Act, sponsored by Committee Chair Jay Rockefeller. The West Virginia Democrat cited onboard crime as well as recent fires and engine breakdowns on cruise ships. He said the cruise line's responses were not enough in any of those incidents. At the same meeting, Royal Caribbean International CEO Adam Goldstein said his corporation has joined the Carnival and Norwegian lines to offer more information on crime statistics on board. The companies plan to start offering that information on their websites this month. Industry critics and supporters agree at the meeting that crime rates overall are low on the big ships. Monday's alleged assault was first reported in the State Troopers' Daily Dispatch log. The sunny weather in the Upper Lynn Canal lately seems to have attracted some mega yachts to local waters. Two so-called super yachts have anchored in front of Haines in the last week. Over the weekend, the motor vessel Lady Christine was spotted in front of town. A Scottish business owner and former member of the House of Lords, Lord Irvin Laidlaw, reportedly owns a 223-foot yacht, although he's owned three super yachts with the namesake of his wife. So it's not exactly sure which one this one is. He sold one of them 2 years ago to an undisclosed buyer. The Lady Christine included a helicopter pad, and the helicopter was spotted landing and taking off from the yacht several times over the weekend. A second super yacht was anchored just outside the harbor Thursday. The British-flagged Vibrant Curiosity is a 280-foot super yacht reportedly owned by German billionaire Reinhold Wirth. According to Forbes, Wirth made his fortune in fasteners when he took over his father's small screw business nearly 60 years ago. He's since retired, but his company employs 65,000 people in 84 countries. The Vibrant Curiosity was reported in Seattle in June, readying for its cruise to Alaska. It can host up to 18 passengers and 26 crew members. As a little perspective, the ferry LeConte is slightly longer than the Lady Christine, but not nearly as long as the Vibrant Curiosity. No word who was actually on the yachts or what sites they took in. It may not have been the owners, since both are available for charter through yacht brokers. The State Department of Transportation is gearing up, after 8 years of planning, to begin the multi-year project on more than 20 miles of the Haines Highway. And state officials will be in Haines and Cluckwan on Monday to discuss the project and take public comments on the project now, before design and engineering plans have been finalized. The project plans to improve and widen the highway between miles 3.5 and 25 over the next several years. Much of the project runs through the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve. Major components of the project include replacing the Chilkat River Bridge and stabilizing the areas where rock and mudslides occur, and widening and straightening the highway. The 2-foot shoulders will be expanded to 6 feet each. The state has completed several environmental and engineering studies. The most recent environmental assessment is available online. The state is planning on starting the project next spring at the 3.5-mile or airport through 12-mile section. Project coordinator Jim Scholl with DOT encourages the public to get involved now.
when we're about ready to pave is a bad time for people to comment because it's already kind of a done deal. And it's not a done deal at this stage of the game. We still can make changes. We believe we've done our homework. But at this stage of the game, we're not absolutely certain that we know everything. Maybe there's some new information we could get to make the project better, or maybe we can look at it a little bit different way. And so this is the right time to comment.
The Monday meetings start in Klukwan at 10 a.m. to noon at the ANS Hall. The public meeting in Haines will be that evening from 6 to 8 at the Chilkat Center. The environmental assessment is available online and at the Haines Borough Public Library. Several years ago, the late Rand Snur suggested to Skagway's newspaper man, Jeff Brady, that he compile a history of the town and publish it. Brady took his friend's challenge to heart and began what would be a project that spanned several years.
I had hoped to get it out back, in the early 2000s, but it's a combination of things, time and money mainly, prevented that from happening. But about 3 years ago, I started work on it in earnest through the winter months mainly, and it finally came together this past winter, and it's out, and I'm really happy about it.
Skagway's history runs deep, and in Brady's new book titled Skagway, City of the New Century, it runs 469 pages deep. Within those pages is a collection of stories from more than 40 contributors and hundreds of historical photos. The cover by Kathy Cooney is a watercolor adaptation of the front page of the Daily Alaskan newspaper from the first day of the new century in 1900. Brady says the project grew larger than he expected when he first started with that prompting by Snor.
It kind of had a life of its own, and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where I said, okay, stop.
Brady, as publisher of the Skagway News, compiles and prints a yearly visitor's guide. He styles the guide like a turn-of-the-century newspaper, with bold headlines and several stories on the front page. Writers, including Brady, compile stories for the guide on the history of Skagway. Many of those stories appear in the book, as do writings from the many newspapers that once thrived in the town. For example, page 58 of the book includes an excerpt from the Dyea Trail in 1898, with things to be observed when traveling over the Chilkoot Trail. It advises that a sleeping bag lined with fur is the thing, but it has to be kept from vermin. And an article printed in the Daily Alaskan in 1900 claims Skagway as the only real city in all of Alaska. While the gold rush is a highlight of Skagway's history, Brady explores all aspects of the town's past up to its centennial celebration in 1999. He focuses on a topic in each of the 15 chapters, like law and order, the railroad and highway, the women, and the newsmen.
The stories aren't really very long, but with the photos, it's a nice what I would call a historical reader for anyone who wants to dive into anything that's happened in Skagway over the last 100 years.
Unlike many books on Skagway's history, this one isn't solely for the tourists. Brady says, sure, some tourists may elect to carry the hefty hardcover book home if they become especially taken with the town on their visit. But really, Brady wrote the book for the residents, long-timers and newcomers.
I think Skagway has never had a real history done, but this might come close. it's never had an academic history done, and I'm not really an academic type of writer. I'm a journalist and creative writer on the side, and I like stories that interest people. And if anyone is really captured, by what Skagway is and how it has preserved its history, and plus the stories of the people that have made this town survive through all these booms and busts and everything over the years, then this is a great, read for them.
Brady did leave out one subject, or a missing chapter, as he calls it, about centennial characters. It will include one-on-one interviews and profiles with several of Skagway's renowned residents. He plans on making that into a separate book to be published next summer. He also hopes to concentrate on more writing and projects through his Lynn Cannell Publishing Company. Brady has been hosting book signings on most Fridays at the Skagway News Depot and Books. He's planning a book party in mid-August in Dyea, and he'll be at the Sheldon Museum in Haines in September for a museum conference. Brady is donating his personal royalties from the book to the Margaret Franz Brady Fund, named for his mother, and established to support arts and education programs in northern Southeast Alaska. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. I'm Margaret Friednauer in the KHNS Newsroom. We air news from the Upper Lynn Canal and Southeast region every weekday from Monday evening through Friday morning. On Monday mornings, we feature NPR Business News, and on Friday evenings, we bring you the Alaska Fisheries Report. We have a wrap-up of that week's local news on Saturday's Lynn Canal Weekend, and you can listen to your news on your time and anytime by going to khns.org. Thanks for listening.